Welcome back to the second guest show, Mike DeTillo, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Got a full house tonight. Want to thank everybody for showing up, celebrating the Saints' win over the Dallas Cowboys. Want to tell everybody at 6:30 tonight, we're going to go to the Saints Radio Network, where Mike Hoss will take over, be the Saints coaches show. His guest tonight will be Dennis Allen, head coach of the 2-0 New Orleans Saints. And his guest tonight, right around 7 o'clock, will be Saints linebackers coach Mike Hodges. And at 7:30, right here on the Big 870 WWL, Monday Night Football, as the Philadelphia Eagles, the next team the Saints will play on the schedule, play the Atlanta Falcons. Bobby?
You know, Mike, we got to touch on LSU. I mean, it was definitely an ugly win, but they all count the same. And what your comment on, I think he's from Oklahoma, Caden Durham?
Caden Durham, he's from Duncanville High School in Texas.
In Texas? Okay, so when I look at, now this caught my attention. You know, it's all about opportunity. He gained 8.9 yards a carry. That's 9 yards a carry. And the runs that didn't go to Durham, Williams and Jackson, they picked up 2.8 yards. So, you know, it's all about opportunity. So I'm like thinking going forward against UCLA, wouldn't you give Durham more opportunities considering the success he had against South Carolina?
I think he's going to get more opportunities.
Because after
contact,
I don't
think they'll start him.
Okay.
But, man, Bob, if you met up with him, you would say, man, he's not very tall, but he was one of the top three fastest guys in the state of Texas. All I know is, man, they got fast cats in the state of Texas, and he was one of them. He can flat out run. And I thought he showed good vision.
Yeah, Mike, 11 carries, 98
yards.
Sort
of bounce off a tackle of a blocker even. He'd run up the back of a blocker, and then he would kind of either pick left or right to go. He showed a lot better vision than we've seen so far.
From the running game
from
LSU.
From Caleb Jackson and Josh Williams, who I think – one of the things with Brian that has been consistent, Brian Kelly, he loves running back by committee and to give the guy with the hot hand the football. Well, and that may change from week to week.
Well, Mike, I don't know. You have different officiating crews, but was that an undisciplined game? You know, Coach Beamer, they do outstanding on special teams. But, you know, one reason why they lost, too, 13 penalties, 123 yards. LSU had 9 for 75. Where you're looking at that, you know, 9 or more, 100 yards.
They were both self-destructive.
Yes, that's like
that
giving
tendency,
them a touchdown.
Them.
So you look at the final score, that was about right since South Carolina had 13 penalties, 123 yards. But I thought that was interesting how both teams were, like, shooting themselves in the foot. Who's going to end up coming out on top, but the bottom line is LSU was able to come up with a win. But, you know, one thing.
You can't spot an Ole Miss, Alabama,
they'll
Oklahoma,
by
17
double digits.
Points.
They'll lose, by they'll lose by double digits. But the one thing that is not getting better and you want to get better, still special teams. It seems like it's always some a block punt, a botched extra point. Mike, and then you look at
the snap was horrible. It
yeah,
just rolled.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. It's always something. You know, the return game, whatever it might be. And then with LSU, Mike, how about giving up the chunk plays? I'm talking about the, like, you know, you got to, okay, bend but don't break. Well, you can't be giving up, like, touchdown runs of 75 and 66 yards.
No.
Come on.
No, and Rocket Sanders looked a lot like I saw him
you look
when
like
he was
a
at
rocket.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
Man, he got some rockets on him.
Well, Mike, so when I look at that, is that you still have to have concern with LSU going forward and stopping those chunk plays. Now, come on, I want to say LSU's a 20-something point favorite against UCLA. UCLA, this might be one of the poorest teams they've had in a long time. Now, South Alabama crushed Northwestern State in Louisiana, but, Mike, you never know when Ole Miss comes to town, but
I do know Ole Miss is going to score a lot of points.
No, and I'm thinking right now LSU almost has to have a perfect
almost
game.
A perfect situation.
In all phases to beat Ole Miss.
I agree with you. Let's go to our triple option feature here. Charlie, I'll let you go first.
Real quick, I want to talk about the Bryce Young news. It's been craziness. As far as him getting benched after 2 weeks, you might ask yourself, why is that? And you see what happened with that Chargers game. Bryce Young had a career worst 6.4 QBR. 6.4 QBR. And as far as the possessions go, we talked about how the Saints offense has been so elite. For the Panthers against the Chargers in the 26-3 loss, three and out punt, three and out punt, three and out punt, three and out punt. Two plays. They finally get their first down. The very next play, an interception. Five-play drive with a punt. Six plays, field goal. The only points they scored in that game. Three and out punt, three and out punt. 12-play drive ends in a turnover on downs, and a 4-play drive ends on a turnover on downs. As far as Bryce Young goes, guys, the stats, I mean, as a starter in the league, he's 2-16, so far 0-2 this year, a combined 31 of 56 for a 55.4 completion percentage, 245 yards over two games. 245 yards over two games, guys. Zero touchdowns to three interceptions in his passer rating. Everyone was all excited about Dave Canales, who fixed Geno Smith, who fixed Baker Mayfield. Well, the passer rating from last year has gone down from 73 to 44. I know it's two games, so it's a smallish sample size, but it's just not working with Bryce Young. Apparently, via this report from ESPN's David Newton, he was blindsided by the news. But, I mean, it's just been a tough situation and a really tough start to the career for the former 2023 first overall pick in the draft.
Not from the guy who signs the checks.
Yeah.
For him.
So Canales came out and said that it was his decision. I don't know.
He's always going to take the blame, but you can bet this came from above and David Tepper.
And, you know, Charlie, Mike, I've been saving this for a while because I was – well, this kind of surprised me. The second thing I'm going to mention. But you know how the NFL TV ratings continue to grow? Week one, the NFL averaged 21 million viewers per game during the league's opening week, making it the most watched week one on record. I don't know, next year is going to be the most watched. It seems like it keeps growing. And growing and growing. Looking at this is according to Nielsen and the league. The per game average on TV and digital platforms was 12% increase over last year. Will it go up another 10 or 12%? No, to me that was mind boggling. All told, 123 million people saw at least part of one game, its highest total for an opening week since 2019. So that's kind of like the rich get richer.
Bob, they're almost bulletproof at this stage.
No, Mike, I don't know what's going to happen long term, but I think now until 2030 is going to keep rolling.
Yeah,
I mean, when you look at that. But you know what else caught my attention, Charlie and Mike, is that I didn't realize how fast Mondo Duplantis is.
What?
You think he's a pole vaulter.
He can run.
So wait, they had an exhibition. Duplantis in Zurich, Switzerland. He ran a 10.37 in the 100 meters. Now think about this. Two-time Olympic pole vault champion Mondo Duplantis beat his good friend Carsten Warholm in an exhibition 100-meter sprint. That was a couple of weeks ago. He ran a 10.32 100-meter. And like I said, in Zurich, Switzerland, Duplantis lined up against Norway. Now, he's from Sweden. He lined up against Norway's Warholm, the 400-meter hurdle world record holder. So they raised it 100-meter. Now, Warholm ran a 10.47. Duplantis ran a 10.37. The pair came up with the idea of an exhibition early in the season when they were debating who would be quicker over the sprint. Their times aren't the fastest enough to compete at the Olympics, but they are good enough to beat all but the most elite sprinters in the world. So, Mike, I knew he was fast.
No, he got that from his mom.
I didn't know he was that fast
because
you figure the pole vaulting and being able to sprint and going up, well, that's a lot of it. That the speed and the torque, how he can transition into that lift.
He's always talked about that if he wasn't a pole vaulter, he might have been a sprinter.
Well, Mike, too many people in the world can run a 10.3700 meter.
Not a lot. Bob, we talked about this, Coleman and I, because we did kind of a break version Thursday. We did a little sports talk, but we did much more hurricane coverage. But I brought up the fact that this week, Alvin Kamara could actually surpass Christian McCaffrey in career touchdowns scored, and he did. Kamara now has 83 career touchdowns, 58 rushing, 24 receiving touchdowns. And remember, he ran back a kickoff. So he's got 83. McCaffrey's got 81 total. They will always be sort of linked in the chain because of the style, because of what's happened, where you compare one to the other.
Yep.
But this weekend, Alvin Kamara actually surpassed Christian McCaffrey. He's got 83 total touchdowns and 81 for Christian McCaffrey. And who knows when McCaffrey returns back to the lineup for the 49ers with the injury.
Yeah, with his calf injury. That's one reason why the Saints didn't practice against the 49ers, because they were so beat up.
They're still somewhat beat up.
Yeah, that was in early August.
But, boy, did they get surprised yesterday by Sam Darnold and the Vikings.